Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. It's so good to be here on a Sunday night. How are you doing, girlfriend?
Oh, sure. Now you ask me. Pass the ball. Pass the buck. I'm doing good on this Sunday evening.
It's a beautiful Sunday evening.
It is.
It's been a beautiful fall so far.
Yeah. But for me, it's like I hate losing the light.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, it was 8:30 at night, it was still light out, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's 6:30, 6:40.
Right.
And you need the porch lights on.
Oh, I understand.
That does not make me happy.
And I know. And then what I like about it is that by December 21st, the day is the darkest it will be. And winter hasn't really gotten to full force yet. So
no.
I kind of like the idea that the way the world was brought together, as we're in the depths of winter, we get a little bit of light every single day. A little more light, a little more light, a little more light. It's sort of like saying, hey, we know it's negative 10 below zero and really effing windy and it's snowing, but it's going to be lighter today than it was today. Lighter tomorrow than it was today.
Except in San Diego, it's still always 65.
Well, this week it's going to be in the 70s all week long.
Yeah.
And
you're still wearing pastels.
Which bugs the F out of you.
I know. Julie.
I don't know why it bugs you so much.
Because it's October and you're wearing summer shades.
I know. I'm sorry, girlfriend.
It's sort of
don't care.
It's sort of like the flip-flops and the tube socks.
I just want to talk, before we get into our week, I want to talk a little bit about what we're going to do on our show today, because it's going to be a fun show.
Is it really?
It is. Like,
am I going to have fun, too?
Yeah, I hope so. I really don't care.
I know that.
Because what we're going to talk today is about, even if you don't feel like it and you still do it, you're going to get results.
Yeah.
And it could actually change the way you think.
So you're going to tell me that it doesn't matter how I feel.
Sometimes.
Gotta keep on
doing.
We're
going to explore this option because it's been a very eye-opening week with it in regards to motivation.
It's true.
I think that that's what this whole week's going to be about. This whole show is going to be about today is about motivation.
Because that's what we've learned this week.
Yeah.
We're learning it.
We're going to talk about our minimalist challenge because we've been continuing on this challenge that we want everybody to start in November with us again. And it's the idea of getting one thing away a day, and then like day two things, day three things.
Yes.
And then as you get through the process, you know, you find some of the emotional stuff that comes up.
Right.
And then we're also going to talk about what you heard in the radio, which I heard previously a long time ago, about this guy who did a year living biblically.
Yes.
Biblically. Yes.
A year of living biblically.
Yes.
That is not easy to say.
No, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some movies that you saw, give our Sherpa hat review.
Yes, yes.
We're going to also have a little bit of Elliot's Corner, and then we're going to do our pillar talk, and we're going to talk again about motivation and how I heard a little thing on Tim Ferriss about Tony Robbins and did this process about connecting with your heart and your mind, and how that really gets you going and you know exactly the next step to take. And then I heard a TED talk about how literally you always say don't throw something in front of swines. What's this say?
Don't cast your pearls before swine.
Yes. And you say that in regards to don't share your goals with people because they'll take it away from you.
Usually I always say it in regards to Doug, but
but really,
not that he's the swine.
Whatever. And then we also talked about today or heard this week about this idea that when you tell somebody your goal and you feel good about it, that almost could be counterintuitive or counterproductive.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about this because this is really eye-opening.
I thought so too. And so
I believe TED Talks.
I believe it enough.
Right.
I always feel there's a little marketing in everything,
and
mostly a lot of marketing in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
ABM,
I
always be marketing.
Exactly. And I also, you know, there's always the shadow of everything good. And so I've heard stories about how TED, how they run their stuff and all that stuff.
Really? You have to tell me on Pillar Talk.
Maybe, if I can remember it. I just remember listening to Sarah Silverman? Yes. I was going to say Silverstein, but that's not it. And she had said some things about when she was invited, or it was just very interesting, you know? So I don't want to say much because I don't have a lot of facts on the top of my head. And so to say it would just be crazy.
Just be guessing.
I'd be guessing. I'd be like Trump. You know, like, hey, you know, that person's horrible.
You're a disaster.
You're a disaster.
I was very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
Such a very, very big disaster.
Oh, they were the worst people in the world. They were so, so mean to me. So how nasty. Could I not respond so, in kind?
So nasty. Yes. Possibly I can be nastier.
Possibly.
I doubt it.
Or though. I can at least match their nasty.
That's right.
I'm like, oh. So I don't want to spread that if I don't know it. Spread if you don't know
very,
it.
Very, very good.
There you go. There you go. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. This really great discussion on motivation and so forth. And let's have fun with it. So tell me about what you heard about this biblical year this guy did.
Well, I was just listening to the radio, and you said that you had heard this before after I relayed it to you. But he's a reporter, and he decided to, what we just said, live biblically for a year. He's from New York area. And obviously, you know, it's like, you know, love your neighbor, you know, do not kill, or, you know.
Right.
He said, yes, those are important biblical wisdoms or
right,
whatever.
Right.
He said, but the Bible's filled with lots of stuff. Like he said, you're not allowed to wear clothes that have more than one material. Like,
right.
Like, we couldn't have a poly cotton blend.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You just have to wear silk or
right.
or cotton.
Right.
There was several more, you know, that he had.
He said something about his beard could not be trimmed on the edges.
Yeah. He said a man cannot trim the corners of his beard.
Right.
And so he said that. He said, I grew my beard,
right.
but I couldn't figure out what the corners were.
Yeah.
He said, so I just decided I'll just let it grow.
Right.
And he said, the only repercussion I had is I really, every time I went to an airport, I got frisked more. But he was born Jewish, but.
Well, and I love how he said, lived a year living biblically, which meant Old Testament.
Right.
Because a year living biblically for us would have been
yes.
not Old Testament.
No.
Like, sort of like the whole idea.
The
like,
whole idea of is Christ, the New Testament. Yeah.
And you're saved from that graph.
Yeah. Well, he said he's a Jew. He
right.
was born a Jew, but he never. He said, I'm a Jew like Olive Garden's is Italian.
Yeah.
So you get that.
I like my Olive Garden. I like my Olive Garden, but you're right. It's not Italian.
Yeah, but you get that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bright idea. Sad. So
I love reporters because I understand you're always trying to find that next what can be the thing that I can focus on
right
now
yeah.
to get the story
right
to give an interest story and what can I learn from this. And I loved all the things he learned. One more story that you told me and I remember is that he was at a park and he was dressed in his garb, whatever
yeah,
that
because
was.
Yeah, because he started wearing just kind of like all, it said wear white, men
right.
wear white. So he was all in white and he had his sandals on and his long beard. And he said the old guy came up to him and said, you know, dude, why are you?
Yeah, why are you dressed like this?
Why are you dressed like that? And so he told him, I'm a reporter. I'm living a year biblically. And he goes, and I happen to be here in the park because I'm at the part where I'm to stone an adulterer because
he goes, I'm going to find one at the park. Is
I'm
that what he's
find, He probably didn't have to go very far. But the guy goes, okay, you know, he goes, guess what? I've been an adulterer. and so he had some stones or pebbles in his pocket and he threw them at him. And he could check that off his list, you know. And,
right.
There was another one, too. I can't remember.
Well, I thought it was funny because you said the guy, after he threw stones at him,
right.
the guy picked up the stones and threw them back and said, eye for an eye.
Eye for an eye.
hysterical. But one of the things I thought was interesting is that you said because he made this commitment, he didn't let himself waver. We talk about, you know, being 100% committed to something.
Right.
That it's not as if you're 99% committed, it's painful. Because there's always that 1% of doubt, or like, I can start tomorrow, or this won't matter. Mm-hmm. But if you're 100% committed, there's no like questioning in your mind.
No,
I've chosen not to do this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
We call that the quality decision, or a burning the boat decision.
Exactly. And so he made a decision regardless of what he was going to feel. And you talked about this idea that he said, hey, there were times I didn't feel like doing it, but I did it anyway.
Right.
And by doing it, my feelings started to change towards
yes.
it. It. The meaning of why I was doing it became clearer.
Right.
Or the spiritual connection to God became clearer.
Right.
It wasn't like, hey, I've got this great spiritual connection to God and I'm going to start doing the Bible.
Because he wasn't that way.
No.
And he said, like, for example, he said, I'm a workaholic.
Right.
He said, but I had to follow the Sabbath.
Right.
And he said, that was eye-opening to me to just shut her down and truly rest,
yes.
be with my kids, be with my family. I learned something then, you know.
That life can still happen, and you can be productive and have a career and still
and
take
still
the Sabbath
have rest.
Off. Yes. And still have rest. That's hard to do. We've been talking a long time about putting the worry down.
Yes.
And that has to do with rest as well, because you can say I'm quote unquote resting, but your mind is filled with worry, strife, depression,
Around and around. Yeah. And we really have been. I mean, maybe not so much on the radio, but together
we've been working about worry. It's funny because I forget that we have these conversations all week long,
right.
And I'm like, well, I just assume that we're sharing it to everybody else. You're like, wait, we haven't been discussing this with everybody else about worry and grief and depression and disappointment?
Yeah.
We haven't been discussing that with everybody else?
Not really.
Well, okay, so one of these days, our radio show is going to be like off the hook awesome because we'll have already worked with putting the worry down.
Right.
And it's a choice. And here's the thing. It's like you choose to put the worry down. Mm-hmm. Even though you might not want to, because there is a slight payoff for keeping them close to you.
And I think that's what he learned during the Sabbath. Not just that I'm sure it took him a bit of time.
Of course.
But at some point you went, wait a minute, I put the worry down, I put the work down, and then I'm going to enjoy it. And maybe you can then elongate that time.
And there's... So getting back to this idea about, you know, he did the work even though he didn't feel like doing the work.
Correct.
You know, in law of attraction, we talk about your feelings are the most important thing because mm-hmm. you attract from your feeling perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. I also believe that we associate how we feel with what's going on around us way too much. It's like we choose to feel good regardless of what's going on. And
I think you're right about that.
And that's the kicker that we're trying to...
We're judging our situation or the situation around us and then letting our feelings be based on the situation around us.
And so, you know, you talk about be, do, have. That's the common thing. You must be the person you want to be, or like if you want to do this, you want to be it first. You want to think it, feel it, and then you'll do it, and then you'll have the results. A lot of people want to have the results first, and then they'll be that person, mm-hmm. and then they'll do the action and so forth. Well, that's not how it works. However, what we learned is that you can do the actions without truly believing, without truly being that person.
That's right.
And then that work changes you.
That's right. The action begins to have an effect on your mind.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what he found.
Yes.
Like he said, you know, I'm a Jew, like, you know, Olive Garden's Italian.
Yes.
And he said, but about three quarters of the way through, he had been doing all these actions. And
right.
observing the, you know, the Sabbath and stuff, and he said he had this great compulsion to join a synagogue.
Right.
He said, not for any real religious reasons. Just he goes, I wanted the community. I wanted my children to have the community, and he goes, I would never have thought that.
Yeah.
Prior to not doing this, so here he is learning, or, you know, doing actions,
mm-hmm.
and he said, just even the idea of clothes right. choices
right
now even still right. has an effect on him. Yes. You know,
I mean, exactly. Yeah. I mean, just having those things. So we know that our behaviors can affect the way we feel.
And think.
And do.
Right.
And our environment, which we talked about with our minimalist challenge.
Right.
You know, we know our environment can have an effect on the way we think and feel and do. And, you know, if you put crap in your body or crap in your mind or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to get crap out eventually.
Sort of like garbage in, garbage out?
Yes, exactly.
Like
something like that.
Used to be the...
Yeah, was it the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so, but anyway, but here we are in our minimalist challenge. I think we're at day 15. We're like 2 weeks in. And it started off with day one, we get rid of one thing. Day two, get rid of two things, right. and so on and so on and so on. And we've been selling things on eBay, donating it to the Lattic Center, throwing mm-hmm. it away, mm-hmm. or storing it, keeping it, moving it away,
right.
from clearing our environment.
Right.
Because the things around us have an effect on the way we feel. Mm-hmm. And we decided, first
we got to the point where we wanted to simplify.
Yes.
Like, sort of... We got to this point, like, why? You know, you right. go, like, why this? I mean, I would be going through catalogs and going, oh, this would be fun to have. And then this little, still, small voice would say, just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no. Just say no. And, of course, you know, throughout the week, things come up that, you'd like to buy.
Right.
And it really makes no sense. Just say no.
Just say no.
So that's what started us on this idea of... clearing the clutter.
Right.
Basically.
And we wrote a book on clearing the clutter as well. You know, our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. It was all about clearing these little areas in our life.
Amazon number one bestseller.
Yes. And then, you know, you have emotional clutter, you have energetic clutter, you have physical clutter, which is what we're working on.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done this before, but we've been very good at consistently doing this every single day. And
yeah.
sometimes it's like, you know, 10 pieces of clothing that
right.
you're donating.
Because we've been like, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and or do the garage, and we're like, oh, good, we've actually gotten rid of 60 things. We're covered for a couple of days. Yeah, that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And as we continually do this, but today you woke up and you said, I want my bedroom to be prettier. Like, I feel like today my bedroom's just not pretty enough. And I thought, yeah, as doing this minimalist challenge, you realize that the one thing that you have control over is your physical environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep it cluttered free. You can keep beauty into it. It doesn't have to cost you anything.
Right.
And when, it's easy to slide back into keeping things out that don't need to be out, keeping more than you need to keep,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like a little decision here, a little decision there, and all of a sudden you're like, my bedroom is no mm-hmm. longer as cute as it once was.
No, and it's just like what you're talking about, when you decide, you know, you're like, I've had enough, you know, simplify.
Right.
And then you get your mail every day, and your mail is your past.
Yes.
You get, you know,
bills.
Uber about yeah. amount of catalogs.
Yep.
Because you've purchased from catalogs before, and,
right.
and they've sold your name, and you get
yes.
all these advertisements, and you get, like you said, you know, bills. And one of our credit cards was extremely high this month, and I go, that's got to be a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, we look back, and it was like, No, you bought this, you went there.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons is Lancome
yeah.
had their once a year sale where with a purchase you get those 8 free gifts.
And that's a one time you buy Lancome.
Yeah, I buy it once a year and boom.
Boom, there's a couple hundred bucks.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
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 Just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Well, it's interesting because your commitment to be not in debt, you pay your monthly, your credit card bill every
right,
month.
Right,
and so you're like, holy cow, when did I spend this kind of money?
Right, exactly.
And I said, well, do you want to? I said to you, do you want to take 2 months to pay it off? No reason why. And you said, no, I've made a commitment to pay this credit card bill off monthly. Because, yeah, you know, yeah, I get points for the credit card, but I don't believe in debt right now. You know, I don't believe in debt for this stuff.
Right.
I want to get this paid off. Right. That's my commitment level. Right. And it hurt a little bit.
It hurt.
You know, and it should hurt.
Yeah.
You know.
And because you can buy stuff thoughtlessly.
Right.
Recklessly. And, yeah, you know, while you're doing it, may feel good. You know, and yet you may get a few endorphins floating around.
Yes.
But at the end, man.
When the credit card bill comes, yeah, in, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah, that's not worth it to me.
No. And, like, you know, it was funny.
Of course, it's kind of like that with everything. It's kind of like, hey, let's have a pizza party.
Yeah, and then the next morning you wake up and your fingers are poofy.
Yeah.
Or puffy.
Poofy.
Poofy. Like, my fingers are poofy.
Or you get on the scale.
You're like, up a couple pounds. Yeah. Was that pizza worth it? Yeah. I did have pizza last night, but I didn't have a lot. Mm-hmm. I went out with Greg and the girls and Doug, and we had a good time. We went to I don't know what you would call it. It has like a bowling alley, uh-huh, and a roller rink and,
oh, wow,
and arcade games and, mm-hmm,
a batting cage.
A batting cage, which you did, and it had also laser tag. It was really quite fun. I had to get over the idea that everything had been touched by 1,000 kids before I got it to it.
Oh, Lord.
And I forgot my Purell.
Yeah.
But Doug and I both just had like the best time. It was just fun hanging out with the girls and doing something different.
Yeah.
And I know that Doug and I wouldn't go there without the girls.
Well, not only that, but you it's kind of, I mean, it took you a couple hours to get to the suburbs, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a problem.
But that, you wouldn't find that here in rural Dixon. You might find the bowling alley.
Yeah. It's like Plum Hollow, you know? It's like that, but just amped up, you know?
Right.
But it was funny because we took the straight route there, which is... right on 38, and it felt like it took forever. And on the way back home, we took the tollway, mm-hmm, and it was like, boom, 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 we were home in 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
And we just said, we will never take the straight route again.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just took too long, and so forth. But I'm making a commitment to, I can get into a rut on what I do on Saturday nights,
mm-hmm,
you know, make a little dinner, watch a movie, you know. And
are you saying that because... I'm in a rut on Saturday nights.
No, you like that rut.
That's my rut.
I like it, except that, you know, Doug goes, oh, we're so boring. We don't do anything. I go, well, okay.
Let's go see my children.
Yeah, or that. And I'm like, well, which I, you know, don't mind doing. And then I'm like, well, then I want to see my family too.
Right.
You know, I'm going to make it the same and so forth. And so that's my commitment, is I'm trying to up my game a little bit and connect more. Like, I talk to my brother all the time on the phone, but it's different when you see him.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm,
it's just different to have that kind of fun and enjoyment and so forth. It's
I know. I like, you bring pictures home on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's my son.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hello, son.
Hello, son. There you are.
Hello, right, grandkids.
There. Yeah, playing. You know. Well, I know. And but God, his kids are getting—they're so good at hitting the ball. And they're like, you know, 5 and 4. You know, 5 and 3. It's crazy. It's crazy how good they are.
Oh, isn't that strange? That how could your niece and nieces and my grandchildren be so talented?
That's
so special.
I don't know how.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Exactly. So anyway, I want to, you know, so really we've been talking about motivation.
Correct.
And I want to say this week, if you don't feel like doing something, but you've made a commitment, remember that just doing the activity you, mm-hmm, promised yourself doing, mm-hmm, will have an effect on your feelings.
Right.
In a positive way.
And so the only resistance is use resistance to not have the feeling issues.
Make a quality decision is do it and realize, yeah. I remember this one author, I can't remember his name now, he said, I really firmly believe now that resistance is just this free-floating energy.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was Tim Ferriss, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. And when it sticks to you, it sticks to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was from Oprah's Soul
Class. Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah. And but don't connect to it. Don't feel shamed by it. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like it's your fault. Because mm-hmm. then that's what humans do, right? Mm-hmm. Especially humans that have great shame cores. And they get activated.
Is my hand raised?
We get to that point where we're like, oh, I have resistance. And I'm such a horrible person for having resistance.
I may as well just give up.
Exactly. I don't deserve to have any dreams or desires because I'm not going to fulfill them anyway. What's the point? That's what humans do.
Yeah.
Or like some humans. I'll raise my hand on that one
too.
Yeah. So, but when you think of that resistance, or those negative thoughts are just energy that's free-floating and it's not necessarily even yours, mm-hmm. you can say, what's that? I don't know what the move is.
You shake it off.
When you shake it off, your shoulder, you're like, shake it off your shoulders. Like, hey, it doesn't affect me. Shake it off.
Hey,
shake
what's that off. One line? I'm something, you're glue. What?
Bounce off of me, sticks to you. Something like that, yeah.
I'm rubber, you're glue. What bounces off of me sticks to you.
Yeah.
Nah.
Exactly. Exactly. That bounce off, yeah.
That's right.
And then bounce it off. Yeah. What's that Taylor Swift song? I can't think of the name.
I have no idea.
I don't know. No, I'm, you know, shake it off, something like that. Is that it? I can't remember. See, now my shame core is activated because I feel so stupid, mm-hmm. but I'll get over it. It's just free-floating shame anyway.
And don't let it stick to you.
So, girlfriend, let's move into movie talk.
All right. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
Okay, so you saw a Saturday night movie last night.
Yes, I did.
And as we give it our Sherpa hats, one thing we want to say is that we do new movies, but mostly we do like 6-month-old movies.
Yeah, or a year.
Yeah, depending on when you saw it and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think
it's a necessary thing.
I think it's our niche.
Yeah.
You know, because
people have, you know, said, love the fact that you do older movies.
Yes, exactly. Because your opinion of them have changed.
That's right.
The hype has decreased.
Right.
So anyway, you saw Central Intelligence.
I did. You thought I had seen Mike and Dave Go to a Wedding or something. And no, we saw Central Intelligence. And it was, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. However, you told me you didn't enjoy it, so I had zero expectations.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah. It was under the timeline, 90 minutes. It was a comedy. And, you know, I adore The Rock.
Right.
He and I are friends on Facebook, and I take that very seriously.
You're a supporter. You support your friends, girlfriend. Look at the Godfather. I'll take care of you.
Right.
I'll say good things about your movie. Yes.
And I enjoyed it. I laughed. I thought it had a lot of good energy.
Right.
Sweet energy. Mm-hmm. And The Rock is... He's The Rock.
Right. You love The Rock.
Yeah.
Highest paid actor.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm. Highest paid actor.
Oh, my God.
Got a lot
going
on. You've
got to be kidding me.
Mm-mm.
Like more than Tom Cruise?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, because he's got a lot going on. I mean, I think.
Oh, cumulatively. Like.
No.
I know. I've seen him do a commercial here and there.
No, like at this moment, mm-hmm. he's got like 5 movies in the, you know, like this year, the last 12 months, he's just been continuously working.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I believe that Tom Cruise picks different kinds of movies.
I know he's got a new Jack Reacher movie out.
And they take a little longer to make, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But you're right, like Tom Cruise, and I don't know how they pick American actors. You know, I don't know mm-hmm. how that works.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was, I mean, I could, you know, if you were into, I don't even think there was a lot of cursing in this movie, actually. So if you're like into quick, lighthearted, no-brainer movies, I would say 3.5 Sherpa stars.
I love it.
Sherpa
now, when
hats.
I saw it the first time, I thought, I just wanted it to be funnier. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, what struck me is that they were missing background noise.
Yeah, you told me that. I never did miss that at all.
Okay, good.
I didn't connect with that.
Oh, good.
Like, I was wondering if that might have been
very, very quiet at the restaurant. Like, well, that's weird. to have and zero, unless I'm losing my hearing.
I don't remember them at a restaurant, though. That was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
They were at a bar scene.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean, bar.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I'm glad you liked it.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah. I could recommend it.
You're giving it 3.5 Sherpas.
Yes.
And so I'm telling you this, to get that 3.5 Sherpa watching sensation, I'm going to say anybody who watches it, know that have zero expectations. I mean, like, going, this
to get the 3.5 Sherpa hats,
yes.
Start the movie with zero expectations.
And the best thing I thought about the movie was a tagline, which is, it takes a big Johnson to have a little heart. No,
yeah,
what is it?
Yeah, it takes a big... Big Johnson, Dwayne Johnson, right?
Yeah, it takes a little heart to have a big Johnson. No.
Something like that.
There's some kind of big Johnson.
Because it's Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson.
Yes. There's some kind of reference to a little Johnson. No.
A big Johnson.
A big Johnson and a little heart.
Maybe it's a big heart and a little Johnson.
Oh, interesting.
But at the very end,
yes.
Dwayne does, he's naked. You don't see below the waist,
right?
But he attends his 20-year high school reunion,
yeah,
and he takes off all his clothes because he's totally transformed himself,
right. And that was a joy for you.
It was, yeah, the guy. Yeah, exactly.
It was joy. Well, good. In two nutshells, I will say two things I think are worth watching. The last two episodes of Motive on USA, they're kind of back to back, and you can probably get them on demand. I thought it was two really quality, and if you watch them on demand, you can kind of fast forward the commercials maybe, or maybe not, but two really good quality
things. I want to see that. I have no idea what it's about even.
You know who dies and you know who did it before you, like in the first 5 minutes of the show, and then you don't know why it happens until the end.
The motive, hence the motive.
Yes. But I thought the last two episodes were just stellar. They kind of weave a nice little storyline. Second of all, I started watching Arrow because Quinners, Doug's daughter, says she just loves that show, Arrow. And it's now on TNT. And it was on, I think it was Saturday. I go, oh my gosh, there's going to be a little Arrow marathon.
Really?
And so I just hit the record button, see what happened. And I came home last night and watched one. And I'm like, this is kind of fascinating.
Was it good?
I liked it. He's got a hot bod, not bad for the eyes. Fast show, didn't mind it at all.
Well, I'll have to look at that as well.
I mean, I'm not doing a lot of TV watching because, you know, I am getting my master's.
You're getting your master's
and
degree.
And I have a job and a family
and you did
friends.
On your first course, you passed it with flying colors.
Flying colors.
Proud of you, Jules.
Well, thank you.
I want to also say one other thing that I think is good is The Exorcist.
Oh, yes. Yes. The first night we saw The Exorcist was last weekend. I literally have nightmares about it.
Yeah.
This time I didn't.
It's scary.
Oh, yeah.
For a TV show.
Oh, it's scary.
So we saw Exorcist number 2 and still holding up.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing good.
I'm just calling it like X-Files. That's not, because I can take it down a notch. Because The Exorcist... If I'm not mistaken, how horrible parents you were when we were young, you take my brother and I to see The Exorcist at a drive-in.
Yes.
With your brother Steve, and then sometime during the drive-in, he had the brilliant idea to scare the crap out of us. I'm just saying that might be qualified as
child abuse.
It could be. Or, like, totally effing up the kids.
Yeah. It's amazing that, you know, like, if we did the same things we did back then, we wouldn't have you, I'm sure, that day.
And I'm wondering if we had to be covered up to even enter the drive-in because it was a rated R movie.
I think, I don't know. I don't think anybody cared in those days.
I mean, that's it. Kids, go on the blanket. We're seeing a rated R movie. Seeing The Exorcist. I don't know. You know, it's funny because we didn't go to the drive-in a lot, but a lot of crap went down the drive-in for Greg and I. Like when you left me on top of the van or on top of the car.
Roof. Yeah.
That was kind of bad.
Yeah.
But at least you didn't go very far.
I like when they used to bring the mosquito repellent fogger.
Yeah.
And
right,
like,
there to drive
it. Right there breathing it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, go play in the fog.
Yeah, you need to get the mosquitoes off you. Go play in the fog. Yeah. Nowadays, that'd be a big no-no. You know, I'm pretty grateful that I'm as healthy as I am, to be honest with you. What a crap could have happened.
I know.
But, And I have a healthy respect for priests who do exorcisms. I'm like, you go, guys. Those are like, you're going to keep your head in the game.
Well, not only that, but these two priests that are in The Exorcist, they are hunky.
Okay, I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
And one has they both have accents.
Yeah, one's got a French shirt. Oh, I don't know.
Pretty hot.
Yeah, and the other one's got a Spanish.
Yeah.
And I said, how come priests don't look like that in real life? And you said,
There are a couple
that you've actually met.
Yes, I've met hunky priests before. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, well, my first question was, do they have a bigger congregation?
Yes. I mean, that might wear off eventually, but yeah they do.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, I'll wipe the smile off my face as I'm thinking about that.
Yes, exactly.
And let's move on into Elliot's Corner.
All righty.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
So here we are at Elliot's Corner, and it's going to be a short corner because I don't have much to talk
about.
Okay. Yeah, he's driving me crazy this week.
Me too, Julie.
I need a break. Maybe we'll take him in. I just need a break from him.
Me too.
This is the only downfall of working from home and working out of the home, but coming, he's just always.
He's always there.
And, or I should start creating him more, but I don't want to create the little guy all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's good, but.
He's just, he goes into this red zone.
If he sees a car, squirrels and cars.
Yeah. And this week was especially tough because he looks out the window. That's his favorite activity.
Yes.
And we've got three squirrels in the yard that know that he's there.
They're effing with him.
And they just face him.
Yeah.
And one doesn't have a little tail, but they go and they eat their acorns in front of them.
Hey, look at me.
And it just.
And he's just barking at them relentlessly. And they don't care.
Oh, they're like.
Like, hey, you're in there. I'm out here. You can't get me. Like, here's my tail. Look at that tail.
Exactly.
You can't get me. And then if you did come out, I'm around the tree because you can't get me at the tree either.
That's right.
So, yeah. He's just being driven crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been sweet, too, you know?
He's had his moments.
Yeah. Just been a long week. Yeah. But here's what, Elliot's Corner is about what we learn from our pets. And this week, we learned that we even need a break from our pets once in a while.
Well, this week, too, you're talking about Quinners. They're in Mississippi. And so we have to go every day to their house because they have Toph, a little girl doggy.
Yep.
And take her out. Luckily, their yard is fenced.
That's nice, yes.
So we take Elliot with us and then let Elliot go play with her.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and Elliot loves other doggies.
Yes.
He does not like Toph.
Well, Toph annoys him.
Yeah.
But Elliot takes it. I mean, he doesn't go aggressive with her, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But this little girl, because she's half... I don't know what kind of dog she is, but she's like, she looks like a miniature pincher and a wiener dog.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, she's the squirreliest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
She just like runs around in circles, runs over him. It's like she's like a snake, like a centipede that's just really, really quick and just malleable. And she's just all over Elliot. And he's just like running away from her. And he's like, then he jumps over her. It's hysterical.
And like I didn't see this, but you told me that he was trying to poop in the back of the yard, and she wouldn't even let him. He'd like try and get in a position, and she'd be like,
not having it.
No.
And you're just like, oh, poor little guy, can't even poop without this dog getting in his face.
And so she's still not home, so we're still going to be doing that all next week.
Oh, I know. They're having a gay old time out down in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And they're going to see Jill Stein.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, because she has no chance of getting president.
Really? That's why they're staying in Mississippi for extra days?
They're staying because they want to stay.
Of course.
And they've got everything covered.
And they got people watching their dog.
Yeah. And I talked about this with Doug yesterday, and there's a point where you go, I just don't care, because I choose peace more than choosing to have a conversation about this. Because it does, in the scale of 1 to 10, I'm a little perturbed that, hey, you got a dog to take care of. you have a work to do. Come on, get
right.
You know.
Right.
But they're younger, that generation. And then I go,
that generation is different than your generation.
I don't know,
and
but,
our generation.
And I know everybody says that about the generation growing up. I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
everybody. It's just a common thing to say.
Yeah.
So then I go, wait a minute. I'm not inconvenienced that much.
Yeah, Elliot, it's not an inconvenience.
Elliot gets to play.
Right.
Maybe the feelings I have are more based on the fact that they can just go away for a week.
That's me too.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You can just go away for a week and not have
any worries.
Any worries. Yeah. It's like,
when
does that happen for me?
Yeah. And not only that, but when you go away now, it's not like you could just take a backpack.
No. I need my stuff.
You know, 20 suitcases later, you know.
And I'm looking forward to a little novelty where that may be open-ended, where I don't have to come back.
Yeah.
But that's just not my life.
Right.
And then you just go, so what? I remember really quickly, before we move on to Pillar Talk, two things I want to share. One thing I want to share of is... I'm going to mess his name up. The guy who does a Late Late Show, I told you about him. He was being interviewed by Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Josh Groban.
No, darn it.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He does.
Oh, my gosh.
Karaoke, car ride.
I love him. John? Is it John?
No, it's not John. Anyway, he said, here's the thing about switching with other people's lives. You've got to take all of their life. Not just one part. And that means you have to take their family, their jobs, their home, everything. And then mostly you go, well, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I like most of my life.
Right.
I just I'm attracted to a little part of their life that they're doing right now.
Right.
And that's when you go, I'm ready for an upgrade. Or I'm ready for a little novelty. I'm ready for this because something that I'm witnessing is pulling something from me that I need to look into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is.
Yeah.
Because I've had this conversation with you before. I love my life. Sometimes I go, my God, I'm just so effing lucky that I've got a great brother. I got great nieces. I got a great sister-in-law. I got a great guy. I love my parents. And
blessed.
I'm effing blessed, you know. And then you go, oh, I wish I could travel more. You know, I wish I had this. I wish I did this.
Mm-hmm.
And those things would amplify my life. But when push comes to shove, I wouldn't trade any of it for the world.
Right.
Any of what I got now for whatever.
Right.
So that's a good place to be.
It is.
It's a great place to be. Do you feel the same way?
I'm so blessed to have you in my life. I really am, though.
Am I looking
really
for
am.
A confident? A compliment? Anyway, one more thing I want to share. I saw the Jobs movie, Steve Jobs, on HBO, middle of the night sometime. And it was an okay movie. I didn't even want to give it much attention.
What was it called?
Steve Jobs.
That's what it was called?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who played him? Ashton Kutcher?
Oh, not this one. He did at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift's ex-boyfriend.
Liam? No, no, no.
Taylor
no.
Swift. The one that...
Oh, that really cute guy that played the night manager?
Yes, that's him. He played
Whoa.
Steve Jobs. The one thing he says, as a flashback, that because I didn't see the whole movie, he said, animals are so much more efficient than we are,
mm-hmm.
but once we learned how to create tools... We became more efficient. Like once we create a bicycle
mm-hmm.
for us to go faster, we became more efficient than animals. Once
mm-hmm.
But in his mind, the computer was the way to make our brain incredibly efficient.
Wow.
And I thought that's
true.
That's true. I thought that was just an interesting conversation.
I find it so much, I find it same way. Like in the old days, you know, I'd have a question and I couldn't find the answer to. Now I just go, hey, Jill, what's, you know, and you look up on IMBD or just ask your phone and I get information that
some
fast.
It's valid.
I don't know if it, you know, if it, but it is efficient.
But it's efficient. Exactly. Okay. So you ready for a little pillar talk, girlfriend?
100%. Go Doris. Go Doris.
Unfortunately, it's going to be a short pillar talk.
How come?
We only have about 12 minutes left of the show.
Oh, we can do it.
We can do it. This is going to go on from what we talked about earlier about motivation.
Right.
And a couple of things I wanted to bring up today. One was we were listening to, I was listening to Tim Ferriss, and he had an excerpt from one of his Tony Robbins interviews. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about a process that Tony Robbins does where if you feel like, think of something that you're really stuck on, that you know that you need to do, but you always avoid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might say it's like an 8 or a 9 on the Richter scale of giving you grief in your life. Mm-hmm. You think about that, and then you get in connection with your heart and your mind. You put gratitude, a picture of gratitude in your mind. Start feeling gratitude towards mm-hmm. your life. Keep working that, building that energy, and then ask the question, what should I do about this situation? And the answer will most likely come. Mm-hmm. But you'll know it's the right step because you're in that state of gratitude, and your heart and your head and your mind, the exact
becoming in alignment.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's interesting because that kind of goes against what we've been talking about. Like sometimes you just gotta do it, then you'll feel better, right?
Yeah.
But so when you're stuck, here's a way to get yourself unstuck. Because one thing Tony Robbins talks about, he goes, I believe that if I can't get me into a state of ecstasy at any given moment, no matter how many people I help or how much money I have, I'll never feel good. Mm-hmm. And so he feels right now in his life, his job is to, no matter what's going on around him, to create a sense of ecstasy. Mm-hmm. I think gratitude can be called ecstasy in some sense. I think mm-hmm. ecstasy is such a big word.
It's a tough one.
Because there's such a sensual.
It's loaded.
Yeah,
ecstasy. How do I receive ecstasy every day? Yeah.
But in any given moment.
Yeah.
I can completely feel gratitude in any given moment.
Me too.
You know, 100%. And so, but he's taught. So then working with that information and then working with TED Talks, which I listen mm-hmm. to once in a while. Mm-hmm. And they were talking, fascinating study, about the study that it's not always, you know, there's, you get information about like, yes, tell everybody your goal.
Yeah. If I, let's say I had this goal and I should tell everybody so that I get it out there. And I've never liked that idea.
No.
I've never, but that's because to me, it sort of,
you don't be sabotaged.
Dilutes the energy.
Yeah, dilutes the energy.
Because not everybody, then you let somebody else know and they're like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Really?
Yeah, really? Yeah, exactly.
And then you've got that extra energy in that mix.
Right.
And that's how I always think about it. But you've got a different take on it.
Well, and they were saying by telling someone in a certain way, like, hey, hey, mama, guess what? You're like, what? I made a decision today. I'm going to run the Chicago half marathon next year. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
I know. It's so awesome. I can't wait to do it. Okay, great. And then nothing. You know why? Because you've tricked your brain into believing that you've already done it. So you're not nearly as motivated to do the stuff that needs to be done, which will require running, training.
Because you've already felt like you did it already.
You felt like you won. You felt like you did it. You've got those good emotions.
And so there, that's what this TED Talk is saying.
And they did it by saying, they did it by this, by they took people and they had some people who were telling people about their goal in a certain way and they'd have them go work on something that would work towards their goal. Mm-hmm. They would stop literally within 15 or 20 minutes after working on it saying, oh, I feel good. Like I completed a lot. Mm-hmm. And people who came from a place of like, you know, this is so hard, I'm not going to do it, they worked twice as hard on it, mm-hmm. twice as long. And they got things got more accomplished. They didn't feel good about like, oh, I've accomplished it.
Interesting.
Yes.
Isn't that
interesting? But
they moved
it forward more.
Yeah.
And so they said the one thing you can do, though, if you tell somebody your goal, if you tell it in a way like, hey, I'm going to run the half marathon next year, and I got to effing run this week 4 to 5 miles every day, 5 out of 7 days. If you don't see me running, just say, hey, I thought you said you were going to do the marathon. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and check me on it. Mm-hmm.
So there's some not liability, but responsibility.
Accountability.
Accountability, yeah.
And I get that. And we were talking about, we have our weekly meeting on how to move things forward. And I said, knowing these two things now, and I've put in a couple of more severe accountability tricks in my week. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious how that's going to work out for me this week mm-hmm. with my goals. But I totally get that because I can get to my place where I'm just visualizing mm-hmm. about how great it's all going to be when this gets to be. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, now it's starting. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I really need to do anything right now. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of good. It mm-hmm. looks like it's going to happen. No big deal. Right. I have faith for it. And nothing gets done. But I can feel really good about it. I can feel really good about it. And so the trick is that tension, which we talk about. You know, so much tension, you don't want to do it because no. you're like, I'm going to fail.
Yeah. Too much tension doesn't work.
And you want to believe you're coming from a place of victory because you want to believe that the efforts you're going to put in will get you the results
yes,
you want.
You have to believe
but
that.
But you want that tension to go, okay, I got to get this stuff done. I got to mm-hmm. work on it. I got to mm-hmm. move forward. And by doing the action, if you can't feel good about it at that moment, we know from the Bible guy, Living the Year Biblically, by just doing it, your motivation will change.
Yes.
The inspiration of it will change. Your feelings will change towards it. Mm-hmm. So you make a quality decision about it and you just like, do it, mm-hmm. do it, do it, just do it. And then eventually it all works out. So it's interesting how we play this because it's not simple anymore.
No. And I, listen, we're delving deeper into this, into success.
Yeah.
You know, how as individuals can we be successful? And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, making $10 million and, you know, having your jets and golden toilet seats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is on a daily basis.
I mean, how do you golden toilet seat anyway? I don't know. I mean, really.
Heard that Trump had.
Oh, I know. But how do you clean that? I mean, is there?
You don't.
You don't. Yeah, you're not cleaning it. You're hiring someone to clean your golden toilet.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
But yeah, and so you think about this and, you know, getting my master's program right now, I am shocked and I'm learning a lot from how I have a lot of mentors I'm plugged into that are really making sure that I hit my SMART goals that I've created for them.
One of the things that I appreciate about your program that you're in is the transparency.
Yes.
They know exactly what you've read.
Everything's online. Everything's tracked.
Everything is tracked.
I don't tell them. They just know.
They just know.
And if I'm not doing it,
like,
I get a little phone call.
Your
hey,
test,
what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you have the camera on you.
Right.
And you've got the guy watching you.
Yeah. Everything.
I mean, it's amazing.
And even though it's self-generated in a lot of ways, I mean, I can always say, hey, I'm not ready. I'll back up my deadline date. You know, I had a deadline date for my pre-assessment and then my assessment test and so forth. And because I knew that I had set the time to talk to my mentor right after the test, and I felt this pressure. Like, I don't want to disappoint her even because
right.
I'm going to have to come up with this conversation.
Right. But see, they have found that
yes.
that works.
Exactly. And
that
that's
works.
Okay.
It's great.
Yeah. You know, whatever it takes to move the needle forward.
Right.
Moves the needle forward.
Right.
And you go, you know, we're human. And doesn't mean that we're less people or, you know, or whatever. Because we're coming from a place that in America, for the most part, everybody has cable or Netflix. And everybody has enough food in their plate. Yeah, you know, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we have
right,
a home.
I know, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want to go there because
no.
a lot of that's mental illness.
Right.
You know, we're not, there's enough services
right.
for everybody to be fed every single day in America and, you know, have entertainment. I know this young couple, you know, and literally they spend a lot of their time playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they are completely happy.
Yeah.
And it leads
doing
to
what
nothing.
They want to do.
It leads to nowhere.
Nowhere.
I go, what's going
on? Yeah, I remember you said, so can you, do you make money doing this? No. You spend.
You can make
you
money.
Spend
you can make
20
tons
hours
of money,
a day
but, like,
doing
so,
this.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to do that. I'm like, no. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, and you know what? They're completely happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, the truth is, in this, we are so blessed to be able to live any kind of lifestyle we want to live,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you can get a tiny house with Wi-Fi and, you know, literally probably live for about $500 a month. You know, cool. That's
right.
Awesome.
I love tiny houses.
I know.
I wish I could live in one, but I don't think it's for me.
Well, here's the problem with tiny houses. It's going to be less than the size of our storage unit.
Yeah.
That's about full.
Yeah.
So how do we work then?
Are smaller than my bedroom.
Oh, my gosh. It's the narrowness that I don't like about tiny homes.
Yeah.
But now that I've seen Texas flip and move.
Yeah.
Move and flip or whatever.
Flip and move.
I love those homes.
I love that show.
Yes. That's a great ass show. I love that. That's awesome. So...
That's crazy that I love that show, but I do.
No, but that's why your bedroom is so perfect, because you're in it and you go, I got myself everything I possibly need right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
And really just 2 feet away is the kitchen. So
yeah.
So it's like...
You can just live in
that. I got me a tiny house.
Got you a tiny house.
I got me a tiny house.
2,400 tiny.
24 square feet.
Tiny house. Okay. So, yeah. So, and then I want to say one more thing. So... First of all, know yourself. Know that it is this balance of feeling good, choosing to feeling good, and tension in your life to move the needle forward. Because we all want to move the needle forward someplace in our life. But I also want to bring up Niles Rogers. I saw him being interviewed on Watch It Happens Live. My God, has he had a body of work.
Yes.
He's a musician, producer, played with Michael Jackson, Prince, Madonna. Mentioned something about Madonna that I thought was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Cohen from Watch It Happens Live asked him about Madonna, and like, did you see anything like any faults in her performances when she was young? Mm-hmm. You know, because she's not known to be a great. She's just known to be great, just great, but not. She's not the best singer in the world,
right,
or
she's
the best
just a celebrity.
Yeah, in some ways, but she's just great, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, anything she ever lacked. She made up 100 times with her work ethic.
Oh, is that what you were going to say?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I know you were going to say a little. Sorry.
That wasn't what I remember.
Yeah.
But
and I just thought, ain't
that's
that the
exactly
truth?
Right. Yeah.
There are times when you can just.
He said, whatever she lacked, she would work doubly hard.
Yeah.
She
made up
for
with her work
it.
Ethic. It was just, she just worked.
Yeah.
It was whatever. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
She just worked it.
Now, what I remembered was that he said that she said to him, let's get it on.
Yeah.
And he turned her down.
He turned her down. Yeah. And she goes, and he goes, why'd you turn her down? He goes, it's a long story. Well, probably because not everybody wants to screw everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I mean, was just a cool cat.
Yeah.
And then they come to find out his best friend is, and I can't think of his name now, the scientist that can't
not
talk.
Best friend, but they know each other really well.
Well.
Hawking's.
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
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 Okay, I wouldn't say, okay, he said not best friend, but pretty close.
Yeah, pretty close. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, that's extremely interesting to me because they're not even in the same realm.
No.
How would this happen? But yet... You know, they're good friends.
Oh, exactly.
So I would, if you ever get do a chance, any research on this man, Niles Rogers.
Yes.
I don't know how old he is. He's probably...
Got in his late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah, and kind of a, like I was going to say like an old black man.
Yeah.
But cool, a cool cat.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't even think he was that old. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he was...
They had showed him on Soul Train when he was a young cat. You know?
Exactly. So everyone, we're ending kind of abruptly right now. Go to our website, ChristyMarieAngeli.com. Buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering
your
life.
Get ready to do the minimalist challenge with us.
Can't wait.
And, you know, we're also going to have a brand new website coming soon called
ConsciousCommunity.com. Yes. Girlfriend, how'd you like the show today?
It was great.
It was great.